Happy Monday, Monday, Monday.
Happy Friends. Monday. No, I'm going to get winded.
Family members, what a time to be alive for Tampa Bay sports fans.
People love it when we talk sports on this show.
You're probably wondering why my beard is shimmering. It's the water softener I had installed last week. Thank you, stimulus check.
I've never been more upset to see Jameis Winston throw a touchdown pass. For years, I would hope and pray that he would throw a touchdown pass.
It was a great play.
It was a good play.
The Bucs still won.
But also, it was like, okay, the guy with the biggest arm is just like standing out there, and you're going to be like, yeah, it's probably a diversion. It's okay. Todd Bowles, I forgive you.
Jerry's raking the yard.
I love that.
Ben went potty, had a fresh cup of coffee, bowl of cereal, and he's ready, man. His morning routine, his Monday morning routine.
I haven't gotten potty yet, but this Wawa latte paired with my breakfast burrito, I'm sure will do the trick in
due
time.
Breakfast burrito from Wawa?
Mm-hmm. Wawa is delicious.
Had a cup of coffee.
It's like a gas station with a bodega.
About 20 ounces of water, a protein bar, workout, and 12 ounces of water.
I had a...
And about 30 minutes in my Bible.
I had about 6 ounces of gas station latte today and a breakfast burrito. It's been a good day thus far. Tim, we got a whole lot to talk about. I told you to save something for the show.
So much.
You were critiquing my show notes.
It's not that I was critiquing your handwriting. Your show notes are fine.
Okay,
you
were critiquing my handwriting.
I thought it said fun what nasal, you, but it
what,
says funeral.
What you need to realize, Tim, my kindergarten teacher hated me.
Because of your handwriting skills?
No, my kindergarten teacher purposefully made sure that I could not write so that I would not amount to anything in life.
So were you ambidextrous?
I was not, but my kindergarten teacher's husband dated my mom in high school.
Oh, this story again?
And she could not stand me.
You need to see a therapist. This frequently comes back up.
Tim, at my grandmother, my Gaga's funeral in March, there she was in the back of the room, just so angry that her husband wanted to come pay his respects to my family.
Wow.
Because she was still just, you know, afraid that he was in love with my mom. I don't know how much of that is true, but that's forever why I will say that my handwriting is so bad. Because, Mrs. Hacker, if you're watching this, I feel like you let me down.
You know she watches every week.
Look, I type. I do a lot of typing, and it makes up for it.
Well, Brent told us that no one should be surprised that Mr. Winston completed a pass to a Saints receiver.
This is true.
He's been doing it for years.
He's thrown a whole lot of touchdown passes to Saints, or not Saints receivers, more like Saints cornerbacks, but still.
Still counts.
Still counts as touchdowns for the Saints. Tim, we got some stuff to get into.
We sure do.
I got into a new suit. We're going to talk about it and so much more.
Because yesterday was Sunday.
And this, right here in this very moment.
This is the Morning After.
Welcome to the Morning After Ministry Show. A caffeine-fueled look back on the week and ministry that was.
I muted my computer, and so I couldn't hear it. I was like, why can't we hear our theme song?
I heard nothing.
I thought everything had blown up
Matt
and
Hull
died.
Matt Hull is hashtagging 4 months till Trevor. It's coming. It's happening.
Did you say hash-tracking?
Hashtagging.
Hashtag.
Hashtagging. 4 months till Trevor. We've got Urban Meyer. The sports talk.
Oh, hang on.
Continue.
I did have water. My wife sent me with a Starbucks cup this morning. Look how much water I've had.
Maddie's listening in the car. She forgot her earbuds, so she's going to get them. So she doesn't want to miss any of the show. Stephanie says, just got on. Oh. Did Tim say anything snarky yet? Is that my MO? Do I routinely say snarky things on Monday mornings?
I bent over.
My wife does know me.
I think a rib just dislocated.
Jeff is
itself.
Wishing we were back in the garage with iffy internet. Jeff, stick around.
We might. I deleted the video.
Never mind. Don't stick around.
It's not in OBS anymore. I'd have to We'd have to have a very long commercial break for me to reinsert it.
I have so many questions about the show notes that you attempted to write, not about your fun nasal.
It says funeral. Clearly, it says funeral.
But the first one I can clearly read, it says fat suit.
Because before we came in and started talking about the Buccaneers and all that stuff, Tim, I know that you're not an avid NBA fan. You watch the finals. You have opinions on LeBron James, as all sports fans do.
Of course.
But I am so wrapped up in everything going on with James Harden right now because there is a whole lot of speculation that he's been wearing a fat suit for the past several weeks, and it cracks me up because I don't watch a whole lot of NBA, but I was watching a Rockets game, and I thought, James Harden looks like me. Like, he's really let himself go. A
couple of Wawa burritos?
It's a very healthy. There's an egg white option. I didn't get it, but there's an egg white option on the Wawa
James
breakfast
the egg
burrito.
Okay, for sure.
He burns way more calories than I do, being a ball hog and
Cam
whatnot.
Says the James Harden stuff is nuts.
See? I just, like...
Is it Photoshop?
Because he was wearing, like, you know...
Are you deep into a conspiracy theory? That's what I'm worried about for your soul right now, is
have
the conspiracy theories overtaken
you? I almost screenshotted...
That's the word.
Screenshotted you a conspiracy theory that a friend of mine's wife had up on her IG this morning, and I was like, oh my word.
James Harden.
If this is what... No, it was about the election stuff. It's like, you know, it's not the 20th yet. God's not done. I'm like, listen... Oh boy, it was scary. Oh hey, our names are still on the bottom of the screen. I'm Andrew. This is Tim.
Howdy guys.
And that's our cue to take that off and tell you to please watch the show each and every week because we're big fans.
Love it.
We're big fans of you being fans. I don't know, but so I was watching this, and it was just mesmerizing to me that here this world class athlete, NBA MVP scoring champion, could be this out of shape. And I was thinking that to myself, and then I went. I got a new suit this week. It was fancy.
For the fun nasal?
For the fun nasal. It was just time. I think I own...
Your Stimmy hit that bank account?
No, my Stimmy still hasn't hit. I'm part of the Intuit TurboTax debacle. I've been promised by TurboTax that my money will be in my account by the end of January.
You're not going to be able to get a water softener.
I'm not going to be able to get a water softener, and my beard will not glisten. If only I could grow a beard, but that's okay. So I went to get a suit. I went to my favorite warehouse, the men's warehouse.
Heard of it.
Because Joseph A. Bank at our mall closed, but it's okay.
Josh A. Banks. I call him Josh.
It's Joseph. Whatever. So I got this wonderful suit. It was on sale. It was a Calvin Klein suit.
Wow. Fancy.
And the guy's like, nope, these pants aren't going to fit you. Nope, these pants aren't going to fit. I felt like James Harden. And legitimately, the thought that I had when I was getting fitted for this suit, like, I'm not in great shape, but I'm not, like, children don't point and laugh at me when I'm out in public.
Not to your face.
Sometimes when Melissa and I are at Disney World, and you know you'll see, like, the big guys at Disney World where their belly's hanging out below their shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be like, Melissa, you'll tell me if I ever get to that point, right? And she's like, don't worry, you're not there yet. But, like, I don't know what you're laughing at over there, Dylan. But
so she's implying that you're going together.
Well, she started dating me when I weighed, like, 135 pounds. So
she's locked in.
She's seen 70 pounds of increase. But over, like, 18 years. So I feel okay with that. But so I was getting fitted for the suit. And he's like, oh, don't worry. We've got, like, one last size that I think will be great for you. And I thought, like, how do, like, real big people buy clothes?
They have special stores.
Should I be scared that at 5'6"?
You might need to venture to the big and tall.
I think what it is that muscle weighs so much more than
is
fat
big
does.
Big and tall or big or tall?
I don't know. I think it's muscle weighs so much more than fat, and I have so little muscle that, like, when I step on a scale, I'm like, okay, this isn't that bad. But then it's like, no, there's just no muscle there at all. It's so sad because, like, when you buy jeans or you buy, you know, Dockers or khaki pants or whatever, you have one waist size and then you go to buy a suit.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, suit pants don't fit there. They're way higher. It's like, so, yes, you're a 34-inch in jeans from Old Navy, but here... You're a husky 38.
So is this you officially declaring you'll be joining me in my home gym?
I'm not youth pastor dieting. I did have an extra apple cider vinegar gummy this morning. Ooh. So I should be fine.
And then you
I
washed it down with a Wawa burrito. Jeff's wondering if
and
we can
latte.
Talk about Drew Brees being done. Is he done? Look, Dan Marino ended his career in Jacksonville after a 62-7 defeat.
I thought you were saying like he signed with the Jags. I'm like, I don't remember that.
No, in Jacksonville. I felt
bad for Drew Brees. I liked Drew Brees.
You texted me. Like, you legitimately felt bad. I didn't feel bad.
I am a Buccaneers fan, so I've watched Drew Brees win a whole lot of games.
Exactly. I love Drew Brees, but I was cheering for the Bucs.
Did you see the Brees and Brady moments after the game?
I did not.
Oh, it was special. We'll check SportsCenter Insta after this. James Harden, I feel you. I wish I could take whatever magic pill you did, because come Friday night playing for the Nets, he looked slim and trim and had a triple-double. And so whatever it is, I don't know if that's that TB12 method, but I'm ready. I'm ready to...
Just wondering if Tim's beard is glistening or if it's just the gray coming in. Duke got his stimulus check and refinanced his house with it. Guys, we'd love to hear what you're doing with your stimmies.
We should have renamed the episode. What you're doing with
what
your...
What are you doing with your stimmies? After you tithe it, of course.
Yeah, well, but do you tithe...
Yes!
Okay, I'm just saying...
100% yes. There's no argument here. You tithe
the stimmies. I'm playing the devil's advocate. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Nope. I have tithed my tax returns and stimulus checks. I'm just saying, when you look at the Pharisee versus the tax collector, the guy, the Pharisee, when he's praying...
Frank says big and baller.
When the tax collector is praying and he's beating his chest and, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, versus the Pharisee who is saying, you know, I do this, I do that. I give 10% of everything I get, and every commentary you read will say there is a difference between 10% of your income or then 10% of everything that you get. So that's like saying if your kid gets a gift card to, I don't know where kids get gift cards, to GameStop for his birthday, do you make him give a $5 GameStop gift card as a tithe?
It's not a bad idea.
I'm just saying there's a difference between tithing your income and tithing everything you get. That's a New Testament principle.
I'm not against that. I don't tithe birthday money or Christmas money, but I do tithe money that
the government gives you.
As in tax return,
listen, I feel
stimmy checks.
Someday someone is going to have to realize how good it is to be a pastor with a whole lot of kids. That housing allowance plus, there's 35 kids. This is not on the show notes. But eventually, if anybody looked at how much money the government was spending on pastors with a bunch of kids, they might change the tax code. And that's terrifying.
Andrew, this is a public show.
Okay.
We don't need to talk about this.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I got.
Duke says, yes, we did, then refinanced. Wow, these people are really... Maddie put it towards the wedding. Maddie, congratulations, you're getting married.
She is.
Cool.
So, Tim, I got a new suit, and it was time for a new suit. I needed more than one that fit me properly because, again, James Harden fat suit.
You had a funeral to get to.
And I was going to a funeral. I wasn't doing it, but it was just like, hey, I'm... Here's a funeral that I'm going to. It's time to get a new suit anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I went to the funeral of the Reverend Dr. David A. Miller, my longtime boss, my mentor, one of my ministry heroes.
Yep, you worked with him for a while.
It was a wonderful service. It was beautiful. The youth pastor who I replaced spoke for a few minutes. The associate pastor who I also replaced, because when he left I like moved into a dual role, also spoke for a few minutes, and I did not feel compelled to get up and say anything. And after the funeral, had dozens of people ask, why didn't you say anything? And it was this moment of like, I was...
Should you have? Were they expecting you to?
I was not asked to. It was, you know, if any of Dave's...
Did they have an open mic?
It was open to any former associates that worked for Dave.
Said something.
But it was the one guy spoke for probably longer than he should have. The other guy was very brief and succinct. And I was the last one to work for him. But had I gotten up and talked, my reasoning to my head was, if I said something, it would be for me, so that, yes, I spoke at Dave's funeral, not, hey, here's a way to honor this man or console his family in any way. And the thing that I would have talked about would have probably not gone over well, not so much with the people that were there to honor Dave, but with the new team who's leading that church.
I see.
So
maybe it was for the best.
So, but it was so many people were like genuinely concerned, like, hey, you know, didn't you have the opportunity or why didn't you? And it was, how do you put your hand on someone's shoulder and be like, I promise everything that should have been said about Dave was said. And if I talked, it would have been about me. And, but
you were,
and yet people still wanted you to talk. So and you're in a situation where yes, you have former churches, but as like as a grown up pastor, you have known one church ever. So you've not had to go back to a church that you used to be at.
I have not.
But when do you know when now is a time to interject myself into this situation and now is a time to pull on the reins and say, it's not about me. I'm going to sit here and shut up. That was my weekend.
I think you did the right thing.
I was sitting and I was shutting up.
You know what needed to be said and what did not need to be said. Everything that was said needed to be said, and what you had to say wasn't necessary in that moment.
That was a mouthful. Did you have that planned?
Just all came out like that. I listened to your story. I agreed with you. My situation's a little bit different when we have funerals. As you know, our founding pastor resigned.
You had lunch with him last week.
I did. We still have a great relationship.
I like him.
But every now and then there's this issue of, okay, a lifelong church member passes away.
Mm-hmm.
They've known, you know, Pastor Peyton for
decades. They've known you for a decade.
They've known me for a decade.
But as the pastor for,
right,
you know, a year and a half, 2 years, but...
So I default to the family, whatever they decide. Mm-hmm. So for the last one, I did the memorial service at the church, and they chose to fly Peyton up to the graveside service.
That.
It was really cool. So we got to do it, both of us, at two separate venues, and the family was honored.
Well,
that's really all that I care about.
The thing that was so neat about Dave is after he had been at the church for like 8 or 9 years, he brought the founding pastor of the church back on the pastor emeritus.
I love that.
It was like, hey, you know, and he knew that it meant that he instantly became the second most popular pastor on staff, and he did it anyway.
That's cool.
And it was like, do you know what? We're going to honor the person that built the church. We're going to honor what came before, and it was really cool. And it was a special service, like it, especially in this day of COVID. You know, you kind of wonder, like, how often am I ever going to be in a packed room ever again?
Sure.
And it was neat to be in a packed room that was specifically honoring Pastor Dave. So,
hey, these STEMI comments are coming in.
That was good.
Megan says, saving for a new house. Ken says, use my STEMI to buy a quick trip to Universal Studios in February.
I love it.
Let us know when you're here, Kenny. Beth Larson, welcome to the show. Use their stimulus check to stimulate the economy.
Of Curacao. That word is Curacao, Tim.
Curacao?
Curacao.
Curacao.
My parents are scuba divers.
They are.
And they're in the island nation of Curacao for the month of January. Mom, if you're
awesome.
Still watching, I went to your house yesterday after church and put ice cubes on the orchids that you asked me to water. You're welcome.
What a good son. CJ using their STEMI when we finally get it to pay for our child being born.
CJ, are you in the same boat that I am? Where the
couple are still waiting. Lisa says, still waiting on my check now. They say we haven't gotten it by the 15th. We probably won't, and we'll have to file some kind of request.
I don't like that. No, I got the email from TurboTax saying, you are specifically in the group of people that are affected by the mix-up we had. You will have it by the end of the month.
Jerry says, dude, we must be doing our taxes differently. You're lighting your cigars with $100 bills, and I am not.
I don't smoke cigars because I'm a Christian. But, Jerry, I would just say, I don't know. Quit making so much money, homie.
Tommy says, my dad lives 600 miles away from the church he pastored at for 29 years. He retired 7 years ago, and he still drives back home to bury folks. That's pretty cool.
It's such a weird thing because the church that I was at for 6 years, and 6 years really, it doesn't seem like that long, but when it's from 29 to 35, those are pretty formative years in establishing your career, and I basically get invited back for funerals. So one of these days I'm going to go back there for something happy. It'll be great.
Frank used his STEMI to buy a gun and get a concealed carry permit. Good for you, Frankie boy. Cam, listen to this. Cam used his full STEMI on his wife for her birthday. Cam, you're going to have to elaborate. What did you get your wife that cost you?
$600.
Well, they're married.
$1,200.
At least.
If there's kids.
There's kids.
$600 per kid. You got like a $4,200 direct deposit on New Year's Day. You got,
I have five kids. I am married. Yes, Andrew, that is how much
six
I got.
Six times seven is 42. And they just showed up some money. Yeah. CJ says, no mix-up. I think it's last name alphabetical. Oh, that's sad. I'm sorry about that. I don't know. We're going to like buy bathroom tile or something.
You have some house renovation projects. You just bought a house.
We bought the house that we've lived in for 7 years, so it's
You've
not
been
new.
Renting to own.
Yeah, we had this slumlord landlord. No, we bought a house that Melissa's family has been in Melissa's family since the 1950s, and we bought it from her dad. So when you're renting a house that has turquoise toilets, you're like, huh, look how funny that is. We have a turquoise toilet.
But when you own it,
you're like, oh, gross. We have a turquoise toilet. It's not as funny when you actually own the house. So we should probably spend some stimulus money on that.
Cam says it was only $600. We're still waiting on hers. We went to Nashville and did all the country music stuff that is open there. That's fun. Nashville is always a fun trip. Nathan says, way to make us look bad, spending it on your wife's B-Day.
My dad just texted me that he's...
Wow, Cam, next level. He doesn't even like country music. That is...
Wow. My dad stimulated our economy by letting me steal his car for the month that he's gone.
It's a nice car.
It's a nice car. Tim's been in it quite a bit.
I enjoy it.
Yeah. It rides a little bit different than my 14-year-old Hyundai Elantra.
A little bit different than my 2016 Nissan NV 3500 12-passenger.
Those were a lot of specs that you gave on the...
It's the S model, so we've had to slowly upgrade over time.
Okay. Listen... Timmy.
Kevin used his to buy new tires, but his wife's trying to save the rest for a puppy. I love how people use their stimmies.
Ben, that's humorous. Dylan says it's easy to not like country music. I went through a phase.
You did.
I went through a country music
like
phase.
All
I do.
Music. There's nothing off the table when it comes
Melissa,
to Andrew Larson's
Melissa and
tests.
I have been playing with our Alexa. If you just say, Alexa, play me a song quiz.
Yep.
It's like name that tune, but you get to choose the
decade. That was really cute. You were posting about that. I was like, oh, Andrew finally discovered those things.
We had like one Alexa that Melissa would like move around the house wherever she, like whatever room
finally,
she's in.
And now we got another $20 Alexa.
I was gonna say, and then they were all $20 around Christmas, and
you went all out.
So now we've got like 17 of them in the house.
We do too.
And so we'll just have her sing us some songs, and we'll play Name That Tune. It's a fun competition that my wife and I play.
CJ wanted a bidet. CJ, I'm with you. I will be getting a bidet, but the wife said no. Instead, they're spending it on doctor bills. Do you not want a bidet? Always wanted a bidet. What?
You've always wanted a bidet?
Yes.
That's something that...
Ever since my high school trip to Europe, where I discovered the magic that is the bidet.
You know, the history behind the Americans not liking the bidets goes back to World War II, Tim.
Go ahead, enlighten me.
Well, the GIs in France would, when they were in the barracks of the U.S. Army, they would have the standard single-ply toilet paper, and they would go visit young ladies throughout France that GIs would go visit throughout France, and they would have bidets in their house. And so when they came home from the war, they would see a bidet and say, oh, I saw one of those in the house belonging to the type of young lady I would visit when I was lonely in the war. And so there became this stigma about bidets in the United States that kind of washing was something.
Well,
that
tell that
was,
to Cam, who got a bidet and a toilet bowl LED light for Christmas.
That's a great...
Which those are awesome.
Great.
I have those too.
I've got four little boys. That would probably help some aim at my house in the middle of the night. Because let me tell you, I have stepped in a few puddles.
Oh, this show always does this.
I'm just saying, so that's the history of the bidet in the United States, and this is History Lessons with Andrew.
Well, CJ says, I don't understand Andrew's history lesson. It's all French to me.
There's been so little ministry on the show so far today.
We can transition into the ministry portion of the show. We touched on this a little bit last week. Andrew and I have both experienced this lately, and in this season of COVID, maybe you have too. But Andrew, I wanted to know, you as a pastor, how do you prefer... I mean, obviously, we don't prefer this at all. We never want any of our people to leave. But we know, as pastors, as ministry workers, people are going to leave our churches from time to time.
It's sad.
So how
it's
do
like
you,
a gut punch.
We've both been through this a lot. Some of us...
Kind of feels like getting dumped.
It does feel like getting dumped.
It's like...
It really does.
It's been a long time since I've actually been dumped, but...
Same.
The emotions are very similar. We have to finish that That's not
Stephanie's
the same kind of dump.
Stephanie's always wanted one as well, but Steph, I will pick one up on the way home.
Dylan said that I'd experienced the dump after I finished my Wawa latte.
That's a different kind of dump.
Sometimes Dylan makes jokes.
He's a jokester.
He makes the jokes.
He's a funny guy. We're trying to transition into the
ministry. I know, we're trying to get serious. Last week we were so serious.
Right, we'll take a pause because last week...
Last week was a serious show.
We didn't know that was going to happen. People got vulnerable. People were reaching out. We got several DMs after...
People like, thank you so much, I needed that.
You are welcome.
That's what we're trying to do.
So, Andrew...
Allison Price, good morning.
Can we go down this road? How do you prefer a church member to tell you or not tell you they're leaving? There's a couple scenarios, and we've experienced both or multiple. One is you give them a call or a text, haven't seen you in a couple of months, everything okay? And then it's the awkward, well,
yeah,
actually. And then the other is the abrupt, let's meet.
The relationship post-mortem.
Or my most recent, let's have a Zoom. Which... To be honest, I was under the impression the Zoom was about something else. So I was fully prepped for something else.
So do you just like get a link and you're like, oh, okay, I'll click this link and we're leaving.
It was, hey, can we Zoom tomorrow? Yes, absolutely. And it was, you know, I was under the impression they had a list of what they wanted to talk about. And instead it was, we're done serving, we're leaving. I'm like, what?
Pulling the ripcord. I talked about it last week a little bit. We had a family that decided that it was time to move on, and it was gut-wrenching, but it was, I also felt like it was really, really healthy. It was, you know, here's why, here's, you know, the motivation, here's, you know, we don't want you to ever think that it was because of this, this, or this, and so here's
But what if they say that, but you know it probably was because of this, this, and this? You have to trust what they're saying, but at the same time, it's, you know, I was very open with this person, and I just said, like, my feelings will not be hurt. Please tell me the truth. And
my father's texting me here.
Brandon says, I've always appreciated the upfront, hey, we're going somewhere else. I hate finding out. Brandon, I'm with you. So if they tell me instead of other people, I consider that a win. I'm with you, Brandon. It doesn't make it easier. It still hurts, still feels like a breakup, but I would always prefer that. We had someone actually come before our board of elders last year and read a formal letter of resignation. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then they kind of let us ask questions. They responded openly. That was a really cool way to leave. I didn't want them to leave,
but the idea of here's an open forum for
it was dangerous.
We like this church. We want it to get better. You know, we want whatever issues we saw to be fixed. So I think some people, they want to go out of their way to not inflict damage on their
and
way
that's
out.
That's the other part you want
and
to
And so it's the, I want to do whatever I can do to, you know, make it as quietly and right. drama-free as possible.
Sure.
But sometimes if it's quiet-free, there's like whispers. Or if there's drama-free and quiet, there's whispers of, hey, where'd that person go? What's going on? Is there something going on here that we need to know about? So
CJ says, yeah, this is classic. Small town, small church. When folks leave the church around here, they're leaving their family and it gets a little touchy.
Yeah.
That's not just small church, small town. Church is family.
Yeah.
Anytime someone leaves, it feels like a family member has left.
Every time. In some ways, and I know this is a cop-out because I've never been a senior pastor of a big church. I've only been a senior pastor of a small church.
True.
But when I was working at bigger churches, specifically the one giant church that you and I both worked at, and someone would leave to go to the big church down the road, that was like a what the heck? Like, how could we not be meeting your needs? We literally have every ministry there is to offer here at this church for you and your family. And so then it was very much like a... you know, this person is choosing somebody else over us. Being at a little church that doesn't quite have the resources to offer every ministry that other churches do, I feel like it's a little bit easier if someone's like, hey, for this season of our family's life, another church meets our needs a little bit better. So, and maybe that's just...
Is that the reason that we should leave churches?
No.
It's so hard.
No, but that's...
You get it.
I get it, and it's hard because... It's hard to tell someone, especially when someone's mind's already made up. You can't be like, hey, just so you know, the decision that you're making is not the most spiritually mature thing.
Have you pleaded with someone not to leave? There has been one occasion where I pleaded with this individual not to leave.
Did it work?
For a season. You're right. Yeah. Their mind had already been made up, but it was painful. It was someone who I knew could be a part of the future and part mm-hmm. of the rebuilding, so to speak, that we were doing at that time at Lakeview.
And I think what's so tough is, you know, like you guys have a membership covenant.
We do.
That somebody and we do. And so
you sign a membership covenant at Lakeview Church.
And so in theory, before someone is going to visit another church, before they've, you know, they've even given this some thought, they owe it to their small group, to, you know, whatever elders they're closest to, even to you, that, you know, we're neither of our churches are big enough that anybody in our church doesn't have access to us personally.
Right.
And so in theory, they owe it to you. So the second they start visiting that other church, they've already basically said, hey, that membership covenant that I have, I'm violating it anyway.
Jim says, we have twin sisters in our church who are just lovely human beings, both elementary teachers, wonderful. They are church shopping, and it's just, frankly, because the single dudes seen their age is a little thin at our church. I hate losing them, but I get it. Yeah, you do. Doesn't make it easier.
Well,
get it.
And the other side of that coin is when somebody comes to your church.
I was just about to bring this up.
From another church. Like, you get a little bit excited. You're
Andy, I haven't told you this.
I guess the big boys down the street aren't meeting your needs all that much. Now you've come to check out little old us,
that is called big church burnout, where they come to us for a season. They realize that we are not the big church, and we probably won't be.
And that's what we get. Yeah. There's like a 2-year cycle of, oh, this is so refreshing. This is so nice. And then about 18 months into it, it'd be like, you know, this is really nice, but it would be nice if we had exactly the same things to offer that somebody else does.
So we have someone who's been visiting our church, met with myself and our lead elder, and he's really wrestling because he was close with his previous senior pastor, and he's asked us if we'd be willing to sit down with his previous senior pastor to help him through some of these issues as he transitions into Lakeview. So how do you... I haven't encountered this
That's
yet.
That's awkward.
It's awkward.
That's super awkward.
So how do you handle that?
Do you put the potential church member in between you and the other senior pastor? Like, come on. Come. And then whoever he goes to, that's the one that gets to keep him? I'm just thinking of the scene from the Will Ferrell, Nicole Kidman, Bewitched. That's my dog. It was a mediocre movie. But I think of that scene sometimes.
Tommy Shelton's taking us right back to the day. He's taking a crack at it. He said, I just remodeled my shower. I installed a body jet at, quote, just the right height. My life is forever changed.
That's not what we were talking about.
Jerry says, we're a big church, and I guess most people leave for a smaller church. Jerry, you're probably right, but I would take that a step further and say it's probably only for a season.
Yeah. But just in general, lots of things in life are cyclical, and people...
Yeah. The average stint for a church member is 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, people move in cycles, and...
I don't know if that's right or wrong, it's just...
That's wrong. Yeah. I mean, committing to be at some place, but... So the average membership time is 5 to 7 years, and the average tenure of a senior pastor in America is 3.5 years.
Tommy says, I had a member text me right at the beginning of service, quote, I am removing my membership at your church. It was an odd start to my new member Sunday.
Yeah.
I love the Sunday morning texts are the best.
Why is it that people think, hey, oh, by the way, this has been like in the back of my mind all week, but it hasn't actually been
Sunday's
in the front of my mind.
A good time to
bring because
this
up. I'm looking at you, now the thing that's been in the back of my mind is in the front of my mind, and I know you're about to go preach this thing that you've been spending 25, 30 hours working on this week. So now is a time that I'm going to tell you that I'm upset about something that really doesn't actually bother me all that much.
What's the equivalent of that for someone in a different field? Like, what is the most pressure, the biggest part of their job?
I mean, I have no idea.
Like a surgeon before surgery? Like,
sure.
I don't know.
Most surgeons do more than one surgery a week.
True.
Of course, like, no one dies if I have a bad sermon. So,
debatable.
They go to hell.
Cam says, 2 weeks ago, a family told my senior pastor they were leaving because they said they needed to go somewhere they could support the senior pastor, and they couldn't do that here. That cut him pretty deep. Ouch.
Also, see, that's the other side of things. It's the, hey, we want to be open, we want to be transparent, and also we're going to be a little bit mean.
So I almost want that. Like, tell me the truth, get it out there, don't hide it.
It's being that it's like a breakup, you want there to know there's no chance of getting back together?
I guess.
I don't know.
Jim says, I hope Andrew says it exactly like that from the stage.
No, I'm always like, do you know what? I've got this whole thing manuscripted. If I get distracted, I can sit and read for 20 minutes.
CJ opens up a whole other topic, which I think it's here. COVID has allowed a lot to shamelessly window shop and then just not show back up.
Yeah.
Yes. So I have been putting off probably 3 or 4 phone calls from people I know I have not seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Because I think I know what's going on. And I don't want to hear the answer.
And they're like, oh, no, we've been totally online. But I mean, I would rather have the person that says, hey, we're leaving and we're going to another church, as opposed to that, well, you saw me twice a month, now you see me once a quarter, and then I saw you at Christmas Eve, and then just disappear, and you know that they're not going anywhere.
Jerry's wondering if the 25 to 30 hours in a sermon is average for you.
No. It should be, but it's not. I would love to spend 20 hours a week writing a sermon. I would say 12 to 15 is probably most weeks' sermons. Tim, just because we always bump our ads to the end of the show. We still have more to say.
We do.
So, Tim, I want everyone to know that the show is brought to you by a whole lot of wonderful things, including the one-year one-click bundle.
It is a 50-week teaching bundle, including sermons, games, small groups, and graphics.
Look, we know your budget year just got reset.
It did.
So why don't you spend $50 of that new budget year on getting yourself ahead on everything that you need.
All things programming for your student ministry needs so you can spend more time with your leaders and your students.
We say student ministry needs, but how many of these sermons have you preached in grown-up church, Tim?
75%.
I have not preached Ask.him.
Nope.
I did preach Bro Do You Even.
Have not done that.
But it was like as part of a Judges series. I did a 3-week Samson standalone. But I would say, you know, at least 80% of these have been adulterated.
Easily adaptable, easily adulterated.
Sermons, small groups, graphics, games, $50 for 50 weeks of content. Why do you hate money? Like, do you have so much money that you want to buy things week to week?
This is the longest ad read for a product.
That's because it's a product that actually ours. And so, you know, unlike
DYMU hashtag train your
where we
team.
Don't make any money, but we're supposed to read this.
Technically,
so
there's a link we could share with our viewers.
We could, but
we've never done
that. We never have.
Instant training for your leaders.
It's still good stuff.
By our friends at Download Youth Ministry.
Train your team. Get everybody on the same page, speaking the same language.
Give Central.
Centrally give. Give Central is the easiest and fastest way to collect tithes, offerings, registrations, and payments. If you are looking to collect funds for your church, ministry, or nonprofit in any way, there is no better way than Give Central. Check them out.
Andrew, I need to tell you that we are a proud,
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 proud part of the
DYM Podcast Network. It's a wonderful network full of really good shows.
It's incredible.
We've got friends there. You should go listen to those shows.
Listen to every single one. Jake says he had a family approach the pastor saying they're looking for somewhere else because their daughter needs more girls to talk to and confide in. I understand completely and support their decision, but with a small group of students, it really hurts.
I'm with you.
That does hurt.
Especially
if you're a student pastor and you know that one of the reasons they're leaving is because of student ministry.
Or, you know, where we are.
I've been there. Like I had that conversation many times.
I have a lot of kids.
Yep.
And so it's like anything, you know, we would love to have 8 or 10 kids per grade level that my kids could be best friends with. But it's like,
absolutely.
But that's not where we are yet as a church. And so what do you do when you are the pastor and you wish that there were more kids for your kids to confide in?
That is a whole nother topic.
It's
Derek says when we moved, we couldn't wait to get to Lakeview.
That's what I like to hear.
Derek, one of our newest members of Lakeview Church.
Clearly, they didn't want to drive 7 miles south to Safety Harbor, but
no, they live in Trinity. 7 miles?
I don't know.
It is more than 7 miles.
I've never jogged it.
We have people who do.
I think Lakeview.
We have a family who walks 3 miles to church, and recently a family that now rides their golf cart to church 2 miles.
I think
it's amazing.
Lakeview to Safety Harbor. We'll track it.
I will map it today. I'll let you know, Dara, that you're not leaving Lakeview.
Okay, fine. I get it. I would rather make disciples than steal disciples, Tim.
Wow, what a very kind.
That's what we're called to do.
Thing to do.
We are called to go into all the world and make disciples. I do.
Okay.
I want to make disciples that are instantly fully mature and ready to serve and give. It's a teeter totter. You know, you want people.
You need both.
Yes. I get it. I get it. I thought you were going to read.
I've read all of the things.
There's nothing else.
Do you have anything else you need to add here? Wisdom, parting words. I mean, every week you leave us with something fantastic to kick our week off with.
About 3 months ago,
mm-hmm.
we were discussing the recording artist Jewel and her poetry book that my wife sent in with me the next week that has been sitting on my desk ever since without us actually reading it.
And for the next segment of the show, which will
I'm
be
just
the
saying,
final
like
segment.
We don't need to. I'm just saying if you wanted to spend some time reading A Knight Without Armor by the poet and lyricist Jewel.
Could we get one line?
One line? Gosh, that's going to be tough.
First one you open to, this is your jump start for the week.
Struggling to hold back the dawn, open-hearted lovers, cling to the sweet fruits of last-minute kisses.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen.
That was Jewel. Who will save your soul?
Same bat time, same
bat
place.
For the lies that you told, boy. Yada, yada, yada.
Every Monday at 11 o'clock.
Do you realize that we've had Dylan's mic on the whole time?
It was You just turned us off and then you kept talking. He just whispered.
Did you hear what he said?
Yeah, after we tried to leave you with some poetry, he leaves you with Waffle Stomp. Have a great week.
I love you.
Jesus, what did I just walk into?